Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is your good friend, the very esteemed and well-travelled Clarence Copernicus Cloverleaf, welcoming you to another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio, hosted by the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon. You can always feel free to call in at 602-753-1883 to ask a question to the host or any of his well-established guests. Just please remember when calling in to be on your best behavior. This is a G-rated show, you know. Hey, that was a wicked rhyme! Anywho, just be sure to be kind and courteous. Now, on to the main event! Hello to all our dear listeners. This is your spokesman with a plan, Clarence Cloverleaf, coming to you after somewhat of an absent spell, as since December of 2018, I've been sailing around the world. From Italy to Canada, I've been making my way across this beautiful land of ours, searching for new meaning to an older existence. I'm happy to say I'm back now, and here to let you in on some stuff going on as of late. In mid-2018, the Cloverleaf Radio Network expanded to include our friends Josh and Ariana over at Night Moves Radio. It's been a splendid partnership, and Jimmy, Jane, and I are happy to welcome them to the family. They also brought along Soul Stories, which features inspiring poetry, read by the author herself, Ariana Cherry. We've been brought onto many new networks, including Anchor, the ASY podcasting network, WordPress, Podbean, even iHeartRadio. We've also started a fresh new YouTube page, as well as updating our Twitter, Blog Talk Radio, and expanding our network to new segments, more radio reunions, all news guests, and so much more. Also, the Cloverleaf Radio Network, Jimmy, Ariana, and Josh, will be appearing upcoming at two conventions, SilCon and Dark History Con. SilCon will be held September 6th and 7th, 2019, at Cross County Mall in Mattoon, Illinois, while Dark History Con will be held October 26th and 27th, 2019, at the City Center Performance Venue in Champaign, Illinois. Be sure and check out the newest guest appearances, as well as find out about up-to-date ticket information by visiting www.silcon.com or www.dhhcon.com. Although, please note, SilCon is a free event. Thank you, everyone, for continuing to follow and support us for 11 years. This is Clarence Cloverleaf saying, good day to you.
All righty, we're back for another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. I'm the host of the most, Jimmy Falcon. And before I get started today, I wanted to take a minute out to express some sadness that's been going on. A dear friend of mine who was a loving husband, a loving father, a loving animal father, and one of the coolest guys I know, my dear friend Jeff Upton, passed away this Friday. It's been really hard on me. I was going to go over there Wednesday and see him, but I myself I've been having some issues. So I thought, I'd wait till I felt better to make it back over there. Unfortunately, I got the news, and it's kind of hit me hard. Jeff was really nice. I'd known him since 2013. We traded toys back and forth. He's where I got a lot of my best figures that I have at the conventions, that I have in my collection, people I've interviewed and stuff. A lot of the cool, rare stuff I have, I got from knowing Jeff and trading with Jeff and buying some stuff from him. And it was just a great friendship. He was a tall, fun, geeky guy, just like I am, who loved professional wrestling and toys, and was always asking me who I was going to interview. And this show is dedicated to him because I know that, Jeff was so much like me. I'm sure that Dawn of the Dead or anything with zombies was kind of on his level. And I would hope that he would have listened. So I wanted to get that out of the way. Our guest today is going to be actor-director Marty Schiff, of course, best known for working with George Romero in such films as the iconic original Dawn of the Dead, also Creepshow, Knight Riders, and other things. He also starred in the Nickelodeon hit kids variety show Out of Control, starring Dave Coulier, and has appeared on such iconic shows as Knight Rider, Sledgehammer, Stingray Dallas, and so much more. He's also a film school professor. I'm going to be calling him in just a moment. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to keep shoving Clarence down your throat. I'm going to replay the intro, so just please deal with me. I only have three options in my audio clips, and they're all full. So I will hurry back as fast as I can so I don't have to bore you. And if anything, if you're listening to the archive, just skip through this part.
Good evening. This is your good friend, the very esteemed and well-traveled Clarence Copernicus Cloverleaf, welcoming you to another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio, hosted by the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon. You can always feel free to call in at 602-753-1883 to ask a question to the host or any of his well-established guests. Just please remember when calling in to be on your best behavior. This is a G-rated show, you know. Hey, that was a wicked rhyme. Anywho, just be sure to be kind and courteous. Now, on to the main event.
Hi, this is Gary Redenbacher, grandson of Orville Redenbacher. Join me in Cloverleaf Radio and as we reminisce about my grandpa and popcorn.
Alrighty, we are back. We went from popcorn to zombie killing and so much more because we are joined by actor, director, producer, professor. So many things that I could call him, but Marty Schiff is with us. How's it going, Marty?
It's going great. Thank you.
I won't keep going because maybe I'll pick something out that just doesn't fit your personality, and maybe it wouldn't go, or maybe I say Harley Davidson or something, and you don't like motorcycles. Who knows? But it's a great honor to talk to you today. How's everything going?
Everything's going great. It's an honor to be here.
Well, I guess starting off, I usually start off with, you know, asking people about, you know, their childhoods and where they grew up. One of your friends wanted me to ask about throwing snowballs in your yard when you were a kid, because anymore, especially even from when I was a kid 25 years ago, there's not very much snow around, so the big snowball fights and building big snowmen days are kind of behind us.
Well, I grew up in Pittsburgh, and in the east suburbs of Pittsburgh, and snowball battles were just a way of life. And if I know who the friend is, we decided to try and stop the school bus by rolling a giant snowball that we would roll down the hill of my front yard in front of the school bus to try and stop it so we didn't have to go to school that day. And so about half a dozen of us worked on this giant snowball. And when the bus was turning the corner, we rolled it down the hill, and basically the bus just drove over it, and we had to go to school anyway. So today, I'm sure in today's world, all of us would have been arrested for terrorism or something else, but that was probably the biggest snowball story that I had back in the day.
And that's what's great about stuff like that. It's harmless. It really is a snow. I mean, if it was 600 pounds, it might
yes.
impact the bus. But in all reality, a snowball is a snowball as long as it doesn't have much mass to it.
That's exactly
opinion.
Right. And the buses of Churchill Area High School were very, very tough. So we couldn't stop it with a snowball.
And, you know, moving into, you know, getting into your career, you were a theater student at Point Park College.
Yes.
And started your film career with George Romero and Dawn of the Dead, which has become so iconic. And there's not very many people that say, well, my first film has become an iconic legacy. How did you meet George? You've worked with him for so long. And, you know, how do you feel, you know, unfortunately no longer being here with us anymore?
Well, I was very fortunate, actually. George had come to see a play called Philemon that we were doing at the Pittsburgh Playhouse, which was owned by Point Park College. And John Amplis, who you may know from the film Martin, and from Dawn of the Dead and from Creepshow and from Knight Riders and a bunch of stuff. John was cast from this play in the role of Martin. But I was in the play. George and I met that night at the Playhouse. When they were doing Dawn of the Dead, John Amplis actually was doing the casting. So he came to Point Park to the acting classes at Point Park. They needed someone to do a stunt with Tom Savini. For the fans that are familiar with the film, it's the stunt where Tom gets hit by a truck and flies in the air, and a zombie catches him, and I'm the zombie that catches him. And so they came to my acting class, and they said, we need someone to do be a zombie and basically get hit with a truck for $25. And I jumped up because I always wanted to go to Hollywood. You know, my goal was film and television. And in those days, you had to do theater. You really didn't have the options for film schools like you do today. So I jumped up thinking everybody was going to jump up, and I was the only one standing. So in a way, I was cast by default in the movie, So I went out and I did the stunt with Tom, and that's where Tom and I met. And Tom and I have been, fast friends since that day. And have worked together many, many times. I've been on-screen partners several times, actually. But George came up to me after that bit and said, hey, man, I need someone to get hit with a sledgehammer and thrown into a garbage can at the Monroeville Mall on Saturday night. And are you interested in doing it? And I said, do I get another $25? And he said, yeah, you do. I said, I'm in. So I went to the Monroeville Mall and did the stunt. With Tasso Stravakis was Sledge in Dawn of the Dead. And that same night was when the first night that the bikers were in the mall. And they needed a couple of actors to sort of round out the bikers. And so George knew I was still in the house, basically getting out of makeup, out of zombie makeup, and asked me to be a biker. So I ended up working another 25 days on Dawn of the Dead as a biker. And that's how it sort of all got started. While I was there, I met Clayton Hill, who was basically working on when you worked for Romero back in those days, you wore many hats. You didn't just do one thing. And Clayton and his wife, Sharon Hill was the nurse zombie, and Clayton was the sweater zombie he was known as the sweater zombie. He became a casting director. He and Sharon became casting directors. And they cast me in a CBS movie of the week, which is what got me into the Screen Actors Guild. So before I went to Hollywood after graduating from Point Park, I had a couple of films under my belt, my Screen Actors Guild card. And really, so by doing Dawn of the Dead, it really is what launched my career all the way around.
And you just said so much that I can work off of, because you mentioned John Amplis, who I had on the show, probably 3 years ago. Great guy. So many great memories from that interview. And, that's really, you made a great point about wearing different hats, because I kind of feel like the few people that I have working with me here at Cloverleaf, we all kind of wear different hats as well.
Sure.
I guess until you make the billions or the millions or, even the thousands, you can't hire anybody.
Right. And I went on to do Knight Riders with George.
Right.
And also went to do Creepshow. In Creepshow, Tom Savini and I play the trash men in Creepshow. We play the garbage men. But I was also brought in to do the lighting effects. So when you watch Creepshow, and that's because of my theater background and my lighting background in theater, when you watch Creepshow and the lights change behind the actors, that's me doing that by hand. Those were the days, that was 1981. So decades before digital effects could be used for that. And so we did all those light changes by hand. So I was a grip and an actor in the movie. And if you look at the credits, you'll see Marty Schiff, Trash Man number one, and then you'll see our Garbage Man number one, and then you'll see Moon Baby Schiff under the grip credits, and that's me too. They use my name Moon Baby as opposed to my actor name Marty, and so, but they're both me. But that's the way it kind of worked out. So I wore, a couple, and I also drove the grip truck. So I wore several hats on Creepshow.
That is very cool. And, of course, Tom Savini I've heard a lot about just from some people I've interviewed. But the last big con interview I did was with Ari Lehman, and we talked a lot about Tom Savini. And he's wore a lot of different hats, from all the great makeup work to the acting and so on and so forth. It's really interesting where you can start and where you end up at.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. And I still like doing it all, actually. You know, I like to produce these days. I've been producing more in the last 20 years than doing anything. But occasionally a role will pop up that I want to do, and I'll act, you know, I'll direct. You know, so I still enjoy having my hands in many different areas of the production. So.
And, of course, you're still a visiting assistant professor at Point Park. And being that I saw the film technique and technology, I took a lot of those radio TV courses in college. So it kind of just reminded me that this is pretty neat. I mean, you've gone full force with all this.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed teaching. And actually this year I'll be teaching at the University of Cincinnati in Cincinnati. And teaching the same sort of courses, directing, production, et cetera. I always enjoyed teaching, and I owned my own school in L.A. for a long time. I owned the L.A. Film Actors Lab, which was a school that taught acting for the camera. And it was always a passion of mine. When I came back from L.A., I did some teaching. I had an acting school here in Pittsburgh. I lost my house in the Northridge earthquake, which is why we ended up moving back home to Pittsburgh and staying. But it's supposed to be a temporary move 25 years ago, you know. And so I started to apply to teach in colleges around the country, and found out that because I didn't have a master's, I was not able to be hired. And it was an eye-opening experience, because here I was with, you know, 30-some years experience, you know, great portfolio of work, and it didn't matter. I just didn't have the master's. An opportunity started at Point Park where they had a visiting artist position open. And for that, you didn't need to have a master's. And so life experience was exactly what they wanted for the visiting artist. So I was able to get that position for 4 years, actually. While I was doing that, I took advantage of the tuition remission that you get. And I went back to school and got my master's. So at the age of 60, I went back to school and got my MFA. And so now I'm a full-blown, I have a master's degree now in creative writing and film and television. So you're never too old to chase that dream, you know. And it was really exciting for me. It made me a better teacher. And it really, teaching always has kept me sort of in touch with what's happening out there. And most importantly, I get to pay forward my experiences and a passion for a career I've had all my life. I started acting when I was 14 years old. So we're looking at an almost 50-year career. And to be able to share that with the next generation of filmmakers is really exciting for me.
Yeah, that's true. I think, you know, I don't even think I can remember the first time I had like a little cassette recorder with a little bendy microphone coming off the edge of it, just walking around making goofy noises and stuff. I had a feeling that I was going to have to do something with my talents, because I live in a town of 500 people, and there's no reason for a full winkle in a town of 500 people.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well,
but, you know,
then you have to appreciate Dave Coulier then.
Yeah, that was where I was going.
Yeah. And the many voices Dave can do. And doing Out of Control with Dave on Nickelodeon, which was the very first. Nickelodeon had been buying programming off the shelf from other networks up until our show, which was Out of Control. And there's about 14 of them on YouTube now. And if you get a chance to Google Out of Control, and it's very dated, and it was shot on 3/4, but you know, and even before Betamax and before Beta. But it was a lot of fun. And working with Dave, who could do, I don't know, thousands of voices, it seems, was just really a lot of fun. So if you ran around with a recorder making noises and doing voices, you definitely have to appreciate the work of Dave Coulier.
Yeah, I mean, and I was going to ask about Out of Control, so I'm glad you brought him up. But I think I'm almost certain that was one of the first impressions I learned from watching Full House.
Right. And before Full House, there was Out of Control. So a lot of the things that Dave did on Full House, like Cut It Out, that started on Out of Control. And,
wow.
You know, whenever, if Dave's, you know, in the area, I'll go see his show. And the audience all do Cut It Out at him. And they think it's from Full House, but really it started on Out of Control on Nickelodeon. So, and my character, Hearn, could never get it right. You know, he'd be, you know, cut it out, cut it off, cut it back, whatever, you know. So we had a lot of fun with that. And so all of that stuff, a lot of that stuff started, the things that Dave took over to Full House with him started on Out of Control on Nickelodeon.
And doing, you know, all this reading up I've done about you getting forward to this interview, lost my train of thought. I'll go back to that. We'll bring it back. I'll pull this up. I'll start something else. I know where I was going now. Please pause for this brain lapse. I had so much pulled about you. Yeah, but I was on such a roll. Marty, I was on a roll.
We can talk about anything else.
Well, I was going from Out of Control and oh gosh, I'll come back to that. That's killing me right now. I hate when there we go. In Living Color.
Yes.
You had a lot to do with getting that developed. And launching careers of Jim Carrey, the Wayans brothers, and so much more, leading into Ace Ventura, Blank Man. How did that come about? Because that was, back in the day, I'd say pretty groundbreaking for a sketch comedy show.
Well, I worked with, it was actually Eric Gold who made the magic happen. Eric Gold and I grew up in Pittsburgh together, and he had a company called the Gold Company at the time. And they discovered he had a partner named Jimmy Miller, who was also a Point Park student. And I introduced Eric and Jimmy, and they managed this kid, this comedian who Jimmy had seen at the Hermosa Beach Comedy and Magic Club, I think, and a few other places. And that turned out to be Jim Carrey. Eric was managing Damon and Keenan Wayans at the time. And Damon and Jim Carrey had done a movie called, I think it was Earth Girls or Easy, if I'm not mistaken. And so when Damon and Keenan put together In Living Color, they insisted on having Jim Carrey on the show. Eric was expanding. He needed a director of development. And so basically I was involved in looking at, you know, reading scripts, doing coverage on the scripts, being involved in the day-to-day. It was a huge team effort to get that thing going. And Eric Gold was really the driving force behind that. And I worked basically for the Gold Company. So that's how it all came down.
That is really awesome, because Jim Carrey is just one of the funniest, naturally talented comedians, actors that I could think anybody could put on their list.
Yeah, and genuinely a nice guy, a really nice guy. So, it was interesting to be in Hollywood during that era. I got to L.A. in the late 70s, and, of course, that's when comedians started to come into their own. And, guys like Robin Williams and Billy Crystal, they were sort of breaking the ground for comedians on television that would lead to Jim Carrey and the Wayans brothers and, Jerry Seinfeld and those guys having the careers they had. Because prior to that, comedians were really never taken seriously for television shows prior to that whole generation. So to be out there for that whole thing and doing mostly sitcoms on TV, which is what I did, and Out of Control was, of course, a comedy. And after 12 years, I was the comic relief on Dallas. I was on Dallas for two seasons as I was in a mental institution as my character had a split personality disorder. I played chess with myself. I was sort of the comic relief on Dallas after all those years. So it was a great time to be in Hollywood during that period, and sort of having a comic edge was really the timing of it was great.
Well, the dogs are barking. I'm running out of time, so that means
okay.
I get the final question. What does the future hold for you? I'm sure you make it out to cons. I'm sure, of course, you're still acting and directing and doing all this fun stuff. Where can people catch
you? Well, they can catch me at the University of Cincinnati this semester. But, I'm working on getting a couple of films produced, working with Mike Gassaway, who was the director of Jimmy Neutron on Nickelodeon.
Oh, yeah.
And Mike and I are working on a horror film project with co-writer Adam Ryan and a couple of other people. And so we're doing that. I've got a couple of things that I wrote actually while I was doing my master's, my thesis script I'm going to try to get produced out there, going to try to get that pitched, and a couple of other projects. I never stop, you know. And I have no intentions of retiring ever. And, of course, people can find me online on Facebook and LinkedIn and places like that.
Well, I will definitely put your name out for Dark History Con next year. I know he's already booked up this year, but we get a lot of horror and true crime and actors and authors and fun stuff. So I think you would be a great fit. I will I'll pass your name on to him and hopefully we can see each other in the future, sir.
That would be fun. I'd appreciate that. Thanks for having me on tonight.
No problem, Marty. Have a great night. Thanks again.
You too. Bye-bye now.
All right, bye-bye. All righty, guys. Well, it's time to walk the dogs. I had a great show with Marty Schiff. You guys just joined us. Be sure to check the archive in about 10 minutes or so, maybe less. You can download it. Put it on your CD. I always have to say that. Put it on your CD. I'm starting to sound like an old man. Put it on your cassette tape. Put it on your Betamax, put it on your VCR, listen on YouTube, do whatever it is that this generation does, and check out the show because it was really great. Once again, big love up to my brother in heaven, Jeff Upton. We miss you, brother. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. Actually, I have a couple of things to plug. I know she's giving me the 90 seconds to yell. Of course, as Clarence mentioned, 2019 SoCon, September 6th and 7th, 2019 at the Cross County Mall in Mattoon, Illinois, SoCon.com. 2019 Dark History and Horror Con, October 26th and 27th, 2019 at the City Center in Champaign, Illinois. That's where the Cloverleaf Radio is going to be next with our con appearances, Josh, Ariana, and I. It'll be a great time. Josh and Ariana will have their books available as well, so come out and chat with us. We're going to be back August 3rd, speaking of SoCon. My dear friend, the lovely, talented author Amy Hale appearing, of course, at 2019 SoCon. She's going to be joining us August 3rd. August 5th is the Man on the Moon 20th anniversary reunion, radio reunion, featuring Lil Wendy Pollin and Greg Travis. August 16th, over 40 years as lead singer of Helix, Brian Vollmer, of course, best known for Rock You, that classic song. He's been seen on Trailer Park Boys, numerous things, the animated show, Countdown to Liquor Day. And he also wrote songs for the movie. And August 26th at 1 p.m. Central Time, 11 p.m. Pacific Time, we welcome return of actress and dialect coach Eliza Snyder, best known for recurring voices on South Park from 1999 to 2003. Also recurring roles on Final Fantasy, Lego, Pirates of the Caribbean, and her work on Deep End's World. We will see you guys August 3rd. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.